Reading from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We begin in the first verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith hopes, faith looks to, but faith wrought in a man, faith given, gifted to a man, is the evidence of a work of God within. It's the evidence of the things not seen. It's the evidence of a new birth. It's the evidence of being made alive in Christ Jesus. Faith is the operation of a gift given by God, and it's the evidence of that done by God. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By this alone. Go to any funeral, go to any memorial, hear anyone speak of those who have passed, you will never hear them refer to that one as doing anything wrong. I challenge you to find one funeral where anyone at least gave you an overview which says some good, but says, well, they had their faults as well. Not heard it once. I don't think I've ever heard it once. For by faith, the elders, those who came before, obtained a good report. This was their only good report. Faith, and that which is the object of their faith. That alone. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The word of God, the very command of God, God spoke forth and it was done. The very word of God, who is the incarnate word of God, Christ Jesus. For by him the worlds were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Through faith, we look to Christ. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. If you believe in a creation that needed something, do you believe in a creation that used something else of which the scientists so-called tell us about? If you believe in this creation, you don't believe in God. You truly do not believe God. Out of nothing, God spoke and it came forth. The same is faith. Out of nothingness. And God commanded, let there be light. And Christ, the light of God, shone forth in the heart of that one he called by his grace, shone forth in the heart of man in the face of Jesus Christ. Faith was non-existent, and faith came about for the things which are not seen. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God by his works, that he was a good man. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's why the Lord Jesus says of those who this seeking heart has been placed within them, who this drawing of God by his Spirit has been placed within them, seek, knock. Knock, the door will be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall find. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It's not very often that I feel drawn to a message which is, if you like, reactionary about against and caused by something that has been said in this world, especially in relation to God's word. But this is such a time, and perhaps and probably those of you who are regular here, most of these things you have heard before. For today's message is entitled Noah, the Truth. Noah, the Truth. With anything that is in God's word, anything that is come from God's word, if that be proclaimed, taught, adapted, retold, anything of God's word, if it not be absolutely and utterly according to God's revealed truth, with nothing added to it and nothing taken away from it, it is complete and utter and absolute rubbish. You may as well flush it down your toilet. That's what God would say of it. In the last couple of weeks, the latest Hollywood blockbuster has been much heralded. A wonderful film, Noah. And have you noticed at the outset, the title of the film is Noah. When if you want to take the theme, you want to take the truth of what God says in his word, what God tells us here, what God is showing us here in his word, the message, the title of the film should be The Ark. But of course man always points to himself. Man always looks to man. Man always looks to his works, to his deeds. How great was Noah? Now, I don't profess to have seen this film. I've seen trailers. I've heard the critics speak of it. I was tempted to even go and see it on Friday. I'm not in the slightest bit interested, to be honest, because I only sit there and be told, you can't shout at the top of your voice, you can't cry out, that's lies, you can't interrupt. But that is what I would do. I'd either do that, or I must get up out of my seat and leave the cinema. Do you remember we just read the Lord Jesus has put those Pharisees in their place for their traditions and the things they've made up? And what does Peter say? You've offended them, Lord. Well, that's what I would have done. I would have offended the whole cinema. I don't think I would have probably lasted 5 minutes in that film before it was untrue in my understanding of scripture, and I just would not be able to hold my tongue. This film is getting so much attention at the moment. And you know, sadly, there would be professing believers to say, well, there's some good in it. There's some good in it. We can use this. God uses nothing but the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. The gospel, that's it. He does not use the inventions of man. And maybe you have spoken to friends or family, and no doubt there may be times when people will come up to you and they'll do what they do with so often, where the world takes hold of the things of God and starts to promote them, and they say, well, that's good, isn't it? That's good. Are you going to see it? They may presume that you're interested in it. But as ever, with the narratives stolen from Scripture, which of which they are, they're stolen from Scripture. It is full of error and made up stories and untruth. And so I've been drawn to present once again the truth. Oh yes, there's only one truth. The truth that the Word of God says of Noah and the Ark. And in presenting this truth, to dispel that which is false. For in dispelling that which is false, it not only dispels the falsehood of the so-called artistic license of a film, but it also dispels all the falsehood of any man-made religion and free will gospel. Yes, God permits all things for a purpose. In His sovereign purposes, He has permitted this trashy film to come out. So I hear the word of God today. And let's start by reading a few verses from Genesis chapter 6. And one suggestion, if tempted to go and see this film, save your money and give it to the work of the gospel. I mean that sincerely. Don't fill your face with the popcorn, but feed people with the word of God. Genesis chapter 6. In fact, we'll begin in chapter 5, where we have this list of the names of the pre-flood people. They are known as the Antediluvians, the pre-deluge people. And we have this interesting figure. This interesting figure who is the grandfather of Noah, the oldest man to ever live. We see in verse 22 of chapter 5, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. And he died heralding in the wrath of God of the flood. Only then, for his name means deluge. After he should die, the deluge would come. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Noah's name meaning rest. Noah's name meaning rest. Now hang on to that name. And we fast forward at verse 1 of chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now this is not talking about angels, sons of God. It's talking about those who are of the righteous line of Seth, who was that son that was born after Cain had slain Abel. They intermingled with the descendants of Cain. There is no mystical verse here. Don't look for it. It's not there. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." It doesn't say some men, it says man, all. "The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. And so we come to the first of our points, and I'm going to lay them out briefly in a true or false. It's a true or false. And the first true or false is this: Noah was a man who always did what was right. Oh, lovely Noah. Look at Noah with his smiling face in the children's book. He always does what's right. I told you this story probably more than once, but I have at home some trashy books. I didn't choose them, they were given when Fiona was born, and people think, "Oh, you want a Bible book, you want a Bible story book," and these sadly were given by those who claim to be Christian. And because she was young enough to not know what I was reading, she could only see the pictures. That's all she saw from that book. The only thing she saw from the book about Noah and the ark, I would hasten to guess, there were only about four things that were in that book I mentioned: Noah, the ark, the animals, God, or five, and the flood. That's about it. The rest of it, I was having to think on my feet to proclaim the truth from the Bible, because the rest of it was absolute and utter rubbish, as it is in most of these books, if not all of them. Noah was a man who always did what was right. True or false? Well, if you believe God, if you believe the word of God, it is completely and utterly false. But hear the word of God, the eternal word of God, which changes not as he changes not, tells us there is none. There is none. There is none who does what is good. No, not one. Not a single one. Not a single one. There never has been and never will be. Not of those of Adam's race. Oh, how I truly, I mean this capital letters, you can quote me. Oh, how I despise those so-called children's Bible storybooks. I despise them. In fact, despise is not a strong enough word for me. I despise these books that teach kids to be like Noah and these others in the Bible, and they teach them to be like them, to try hard and persevere, to do good and please God. I hate such things, as they lead all the way to self-righteousness, to a self-righteous life and a false hope, and all the way to hell. They are hellish books. You have upset someone now. Well, the gospel upsets. For that's exactly right. All your works of supposed righteousness, seeking to be good, are rejected completely and utterly by the Holy God. The same with Noah. He is the Holy God who will in no wise behold iniquity. And that is all our righteousness. It is completely polluted with iniquity and sin. So what is true of Noah? He is spoken of here clearly in God's word in Genesis 6. Now he's not named by name, but he is numbered amongst those spoken of in Genesis 6:5. Most certainly he did not always do good. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Noah's also. Noah was a sinner. You don't believe that? If you don't believe that, see what the best of his flesh was capable of after the flood. Just see it. Just read Genesis 9. How this man planted a vineyard and made a fool of himself as he became drunk. That was the best of his flesh. Noah knew this stuff. Noah knew this to be true. Noah would have nothing to do with these books and stories about him. The imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that is you. And that is me. And that is everyone born into this world. Everyone. Without exception. There is no exception. No, not one, the Lord says. No, not one. Nothing but sin. You see, God views our hearts not as everyone else views us. God views our hearts not as we do. Oh, we view ourselves in quite a different light, don't we? We examine ourselves and we see all kinds of things that are so good. But he sees what the hearts of all men be full of. He sees what no one else sees. Sure, you may try to fool others. You may try to fool yourself that you be good. That indeed is what man seeks to do always, seeking to make himself righteous and right before God, and demanding even before God that God accept him. We're all as Cain. We bring that of our own self-worth, our own self-righteousness, and when God rejects it, we are angry. And God says to us, if you do good, will you not be accepted? But when you do not good, sin lies at the door. Man seeks his own way, not God's way. Not naturally. All religion depending upon works you do is deceit. I don't care if it's called Christian or otherwise. If it depends upon anything you do, it is full of deceit. I don't care if it half believes the doctrines of grace and yet proclaims something else. It is deceit. God never speaks anything in a corner. The gospel is not an unclear sound. It is a most clear sound. You know what it is. Is that not true? For God says by the prophet Jeremiah, of everything of our hearts, in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful. Deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? We can't even know our own heart. Because of the deceit of our heart and the wickedness of our nature, we will not recognize our own heart. I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. God says by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 64 these familiar words. Isaiah 64. Mark these words. Isaiah speaks offensive words indeed. Offensive to all who would think they be righteous, to all who think they be good Christians by their own religion and tradition. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth. The fire causeth the waters to boil. So make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eye seen. O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways, Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, filthy cloths of women that are unmentionable. That's what the Word of God says here. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and have consumed us because of our iniquities. There's your Noah. There's your good man Noah to follow after. He's nothing any different from you. Secondly, true or false, what about the Word of God teaching in Genesis 6:9? Oh, we appeal to the Word of God now. The devil always seeks to twist the Word of God. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Surely this shows that someone can make themselves, can improve themselves, can make themselves acceptable before God by good deeds, can bring about some change in their situation now, can improve his situation. I've got news for that principle. I've got news for you. If you even believe that principle, you will never improve this world. You're never going to improve it. It will continue on as it always has been, till the time when Christ shall come again to bring all things to an end. This world is not for improving. God will not make his kingdom in England's green and pleasant land. If you got a copy of Jerusalem written by Blake, throw it in the bin. He will not build his new Jerusalem in any land on this earth. There is no improvement for this world. This world will continue on in evil rebellion against God. The world lieth in iniquity. But surely Noah improved his standing before God. This is what the Word of God is telling us here, surely. Well, no. This is false. This is most definitely false. As far as anything he did according to his human nature is concerned, Noah was no different from the rest. God and Noah alone knew his heart. And if you be the Lord's, and if you meet Noah, if such a thing happened in the glory, you meet Noah, you ask him. You ask this sinner saved by grace. We do not know. We do not know what base sin he was guilty of. He was no different from the rest. Especially before he was given faith. Before God intervened in his life. He was all as all the sons and daughters of Adam, walking in by nature and preferring sin. That's you and that's me. That's you now if you know not Christ, and that's you before he called you by his matchless grace. Desiring sin, enjoying it, proud to be amongst the children of Adam. As Ephesians 2-3 tells us, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And by the way, I imagine there was a good deal of these people, who we are told the intents of the heart was evil continually, wicked. There were some religious people among them. For just read. Not long before, men had begun to call upon the name of the Lord. Yes, there was some righteous example of those who truly followed by faith. But as always with the church, in the church spiritual, there is the church physical. There is the wheat, and there is the chaff, and they grow together. Children of disobedience, and we find this even in the Church of God today. So many be disobedient to the truth of God's gospel. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, Peter tells us, but not of self-righteousness. He was the preacher of the righteousness of whom the ark points to. He was a preacher of the Lord, who alone is righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah could not change nor improve himself, just as you cannot do anything to change your nature of rebellion against God. It's utterly futile, it's utterly impossible. Jeremiah 13:23 says this: can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to evil. No, we can't. We cannot change anything of our nature. We're accustomed to it. We live in it. We desire it. We enjoy it. We do not come to the light because our deeds are evil. Thirdly, so God then was unjust and unfair to save Noah and not the rest. True or false? Well, here we come to a very, very prickly matter in Christendom. Here we come to the matter that God is sovereign, and God does with the same lump of clay what he will. He makes one fit for destruction and one for his grace. Here is the nub of the matter, which not only the non-professing believer and the professing believer have a problem with God. God must not rule. God must not be sovereign over all things. The Bible quite rightly states, Noah was a just man. He was just. He was before God's judgment bar, before God's throne, he was accepted as justified. He was accepted as right and righteous. He was a just man and perfect in his generations. When God looked on Noah, Noah was permitted to walk by faith with God. Why? Because God looked on Noah and he beheld no iniquity, no sin. Noah was, as David tells us, those who are blessed, whose iniquity is forgiven, whose sin is covered. But you just said, Noah was not a good man by nature, correct? You just said, Noah did do nothing to improve his state before God. Absolutely correct. Noah was saved, not on account of any good in him, nor as an evildoer who should have been condemned with the others. He wasn't unjustly saved. He wasn't saved with God just winking at sin and just letting him off. He was indeed an evildoer who, quite rightly, God, by his justice, should have condemned with the others. In the fleshly nature, he was justly and rightly under the wrath of God. But there was something that meant God was just and right in sparing him. In sparing Noah. For see, the all-important thing that makes all the difference between Noah, who, like all the rest, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, of Noah's heart, was evil, only evil continually. See the difference, and this alone be the difference. And what a difference this makes. As I said, it was nothing of what Noah did or didn't do. It makes all the difference. It changes the state of the judgment the sinner stands in before God. And it brings about a new nature made after the image of Christ. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, after he was a just man and perfect in his generations. Well, if we read back to front, yeah. If we choose to have our theology back to front, we commend ourselves to God because God has seen in advance we will have faith, and so that is how he places election upon us. He chooses us because he sees we will have faith. We want to have back to front theology, correct? That would be correct. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The thoughts and the intents of his heart was only evil continually. And somewhere in between that and him being declared as perfect before God, as right before God, something made all the difference. For it was not verse 9 or verse 10, it is verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not God found grace in Noah. Salvation is all of the Lord. And God's unchanging eternal grace, meaning his favour given to those undeserving. I don't know how clear a God can make it in talking of Noah. Noah did not deserve grace. Noah did not deserve mercy. It was all of grace that God called Noah to his being preserved by the ark. This grace would not and could not leave Noah. could not leave Noah among the children of disobedience to indeed face the just wrath of Almighty God. And if you be one that God has set His grace upon from eternity past, He will not and cannot leave you to face that wrath yourself. If you belong to Him. If you are His grace chose, just as it chose Noah to salvation, and grace provided the means of salvation. So much attention is given to Noah building the ark, but the design, the plan, the accuracy of the ark was all of God's doing. Where do we find a single passage in God's word that tells us that Noah came up with any of it? By faith. By faith, Noah, moved with fear, built the ark. Who told him every single inch of that ark? It was God Himself. After the pattern, just as with the law given through Moses, was after the pattern in the heavens. It's after the pattern of Him who is salvation, who is God, who is salvation. Jesus Christ, who will save His people from their sins. Jesus, meaning God, is salvation. This is the message. This is the message of Noah. Not the false one of storybooks or free world religion or Hollywood films. Noah was gifted faith to believe on another to make him righteous, to make him acceptable before God. This and this alone will mark you out from the rest of humanity. That God accepts you as perfect in His sight. And that is that His grace be upon you. Fourthly, the ark which saved Noah and his wife, three sons and their wives, was built to save others. Oh, it was a vast vessel. Surely there was room for others. It was built to save others who rejected it. But they could have got in had they not rejected it. True or false? True or false? False again. False. Absolutely false again. Believe the free will gospel that tells you if you will only believe, God will atone for your sin. I think you'll find the word of God says Christ has atoned. Christ has redeemed with His blood. If He's bought something, it belongs to Him already. But false again. Like all who are called by the grace of God unto salvation in Christ. Christ says of them, Christ, the incarnate Word of God, walking this earth, said of them, My flock is a little flock. Sure, it is a great multitude, it's spoken of in Scriptures, from among every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. But still, it is a little flock from among humanity. Just as the only eight souls were saved in this vessel. All called by the grace of God unto salvation in Christ, who the ark pictures. These people are chosen unto salvation. And so finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. But let's see what the book of God tells us of who the ark was built for. And in showing this, we will see just who Christ Jesus was crucified for. Genesis 6:17 says, "And behold, I do bring the flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." God has had purpose to pour out his wrath upon all sin, just as indeed his wrath abides upon all those who are found not in Christ. For now remember that according to this, to his sinful nature, Noah deserved to be numbered amongst those transgressors, to face the wrath of Almighty God. That was the just state that Noah should be in. The right state that Noah should be in. But next, the next verse shows us what grace did according to God's eternal choice and love. Verse 18, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." Where is the mention of a second chance for anyone else? You could write it in there if you like. God's word does not say it, does it? So where is the mention of God giving the provision of the ark to save, hypothetically, if those who come afterwards just might choose to believe? Well, of course, it is not there. It never has been there. It never has been there throughout all the pages of Scripture. It is, as we read earlier in Matthew 15, it is teaching as commandments the traditions of men. Nothing else. Nothing else. Of course, it is not there. What is actually taught is that salvation in Christ Jesus is only for God's elect, and he was given as the sin-bearing substitute for them only. The rest remain under the condemnation, the just, the right condemnation of the Almighty. They are the reprobates. They are the justly punished for their rebellion against God. Reprobate, passed over, rejected. And if you be in Christ Jesus, it is only because you are not reprobate. And so we are indeed cautioned to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, that we be found not reprobate. Whether we be found in the ark, in Christ. Lastly, the message of Noah and the ark is just a good story. We can invite the man from the church to read a Bible story to the assembly. Can you read about Noah? That's inoffensive. That won't upset the many religions we have in our school. That's why I don't get invited back to the schools. They don't want to hear of Christ. They don't want to hear of Christ applied in the scriptures. They hate Christ. They love the cuddly stories though. It's just a good story. Well, it may well be a good story for some film producer, because he's laughing all the way to the bank, isn't he? But you know, the story of the Bible, of what man in the professing church has made the gospel today. Fables. Nothing but fables they teach. And yes, they fill up their congregations. They fill up their collection boxes. Yes, they are very rich in worldly goods. But they are clouds without water, these preachers, for they have nothing to say of any value. A good story only? Well, absolutely false. Otherwise you call the Lord Jesus a liar. For the Lord Jesus did not just believe in a story, just as he just did not believe in Jonah being swallowed by the big fish as being just a story. Oh no, Jonah pointed to his being 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth, being in the grave before he would be gloriously resurrected to life again. And so he also truly believed, and tells us of Noah, because he was there. Oh, he was there. The Lord Jesus was right there in the ark. For like all we read of in the Old Testament scriptures, here it speaks of how God saved his people from their sins in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our ark of salvation. To the people of God like Noah, the recipients of his grace, the Lord Jesus Christ is our hiding place. He is our mercy seat. He covers our sin, and God's anger is pacified. Christ Jesus as the ark is the way of salvation, the one way, the only way of salvation, by God's design and God's provision alone. Noah believed God and went into the ark. But you know, God gave him that faith. It is God who drew Noah in. We read in Genesis 7:1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." God comes by his Holy Spirit, and he makes the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace. He comes by his Spirit and he gives life. He draws by an irresistible grace, because they are accepted as righteous by the righteousness of another already, because he has finished the work. For when he cried out, "It is finished," he said he has indeed made his people righteous before God. Come, come now. Come and know this salvation. Come and experience this salvation. Come and enjoy this salvation. See here, salvation from God for Noah was all according to God drawing him to the ark to come. Noah moved by fear. Noah knew there was no other way. And so until you are moved by godly fear to fear the wrath of God, you will never come to Jesus Christ, who is the ark. Noah was moved by fear to trust in this only way of salvation. God called Noah to come. And so Christ the Saviour, the ark of salvation, can only be come to by such as God draws irresistibly. That's what Jesus says. None can come to me except the Father which sent me draweth him. Oh, but he that is drawn. Oh, but he that is drawn. He says, come to me. Come unto me. Come into me. And thou shalt find rest. Remember Noah's name? Rest. Rest from all your sin. Rest from all the condemnation of your sin. Rest from seeking in vain to be right with God by what you think you can do, of which you really know you can't. Futile works of religion. What saved Noah from the waters of the flood? The ark, of course. See how for 40 days and nights it rained. And then when the rain stopped, what do we read? What do we read? The ark rested. It's finished. It's finished. Hebrews 12 tells us there remains a rest unto the people of God. What is this talking of? Is this talking about a day of the week? No. He's not talking about any special day. It is talking about Christ, who is the ark. For those who have entered into Christ have entered unto rest, perfect rest, perfect peace. Those found in Christ have rested from works, seeking to be right with God, because the wrath of God for their sin, not for the others, they will be eternally tormented. Those who were justly condemned by the flood, just with all men who are outside of Christ, they will be eternally condemned. But the people of God have been punished by a substitute Saviour, and the punishment, the wrath for their sin, has been stopped now. It has been exhausted on the Son of God. Because Jesus, the ark of salvation, was numbered with the transgressors. Noah deserved to be numbered with those transgressors. You, if you are his, deserved to be numbered with those transgressors. But Christ Jesus, the ark of salvation, was numbered with the transgressors. The flood fell upon all flesh, except those that were in the ark. And it fell upon the ark, just as on that cross, when Christ Jesus was made a curse, he took away the curse. On the cross, all the wrath of God fell upon him for those who are in him, chosen in him, saved in him. Who are they that are chosen in him? If, like Noah, you receive the call of God's grace, if his grace you receive in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, if this grace is made known to you by God, heeding that call by faith, you are safe in him. With Noah, with all that came before. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Perfect rest. Perfect rest for the soul. I direct your attention not to Noah, but to the ark of salvation. If someone asks you, of this film, tell them to forget the film and behold the Lamb of God. Noah was righteous and perfect in his generation, not by his good works, through faith in Christ Jesus, and he was made the very righteousness of God in him. His ark. But one more thing. The film, this film, I have been told by the written critics of this and those talking of this film. In this film about Noah, so called, it depicts rebel people trying to gain access to the ark by force. One particular character leading such people. But how false is this? This did not happen. No one wants God's ark of salvation unless they receive his invitation to come. And they will come. The Lord Jesus, who is the greater ark and the only way of salvation, to flee from the wrath to come, said this of what will happen before he comes again to herald the judgment of God, to bring the end of all flesh, as God had said in Genesis 6. He will bring the end and the judgment that will surely follow. People will be continuing to reject and ignore him, and he gives this example. Nobody sought to gain it by force. Nobody wanted the ark. Nobody was interested in the ark. But Noah, his three sons, his wife, and his three sons' wives. Matthew 24, the Saviour says these words. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood... Oh, there was a great rebellion. They sought to gain the ark by force. That looks good in Hollywood, doesn't it? It's not true. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They were just carrying on as if everything is normal. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not even when Noah entered the ark. They know not when you, if you be in Christ, when you have been drawn by faith to believe on the Son of God. They still don't know. They're oblivious. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What of Noah? Nothing of Noah. Behold the ark. Behold God's ark of salvation. Behold Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain from the foundation of the world. What of you? Which one are you that Jesus speaks of?